chapter 15, Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 4-11. Okay, I'm going to title my message this morning, No Poor Among You. Okay, I got this message when I was doing my devotion in the book of Deuteronomy. Okay, and it really struck me, and I believe that it has a message for all of us as a church. No poor among you. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 4 and 11. Okay, I'm going to read from the NLT version. So I want you to listen carefully, and if you can see, it will be very good. Okay, it says here, Father, just anoint this message right now. God, let the people receive the word of God. I hide myself under the cross, behind the cross. Let the people understand the tremendous truth. The truth that you have revealed to our people. In Jesus' name I pray. It says here, there should be no poor among you. Why? For the Lord your God will greatly bless you in the land He's giving you as a special possession. You will receive this blessing if you are careful to obey all the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today. The Lord your God will bless you as He promised. You will lend money to many nations, but will never need to borrow. You will rule many nations, but they will not rule over you. But if there are any poor Israelites in your town, okay, it is like a contradictory statement. When you arrive in the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or twist or tight-fisted toward them. Instead, be generous and lend them whatever they need. Do not be mean-spirited and refuse someone a loan because the year for canceling the debt is close at hand. It refers to the Jews. Okay, this statement is for the Jews. Okay, for the Jews, after 7 years, all debts are cancelled for the people of God. If you refuse to make the loan and the needy cries out to the Lord, you will be considered guilty of sin. Give generously to the poor, not grudgingly, for the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. There will always be some in the land who are poor. Another irony. There will always be some in the land who are poor. That is why I'm commanding you to share freely with the poor and other Israelites in the land. In need. No poor among you. Deuteronomy chapter 15 verse 4 to 11 is a fundamental topic. It is some truth that occupies the mind of practically every one of us because it involves finance. In a world as well as among the people of God, wherever one goes today, whatever nation one visits, one is impressed by the extremes, the wide gap of poverty and wealth. Wherever you go, it is true in Europe, it is true in Asia, it is true in South America, it is also true in the United States. Wherever one goes, on one side of the town, there is extreme poverty. On the other side of the town, there is extreme wealth. You just look at BGC, the top of the town, Bonifacio Global City, the top of the town in every city in Philippines wants to be BCG. On the other side of the town is Tondo. This is also true, not just comparing within the country, but comparing between countries. The GDP per capita of Switzerland is US $93,000. The GDP per capita of Burundi, one of the poorest countries in the world, is just $154. It is said that the daily wage earning of the Burundi people per day is a few cents US dollars. Well, you can blame an individual. Oh, you blame Arroyo, or you blame whoever it is, or you blame some president. You blame some president. You blame Najib, like in Malaysia. Of course, but the basic cause is still human. The sin of man. It is the sin of man across the world that is the cause of this situation right now in the world. If men had obeyed God in this respect, there would have been no poor among them. There will be a balance of wealth. It is said many countries started wars because of income inequality. It is always the rich, the poor against the rich, and the poor are the majority. The rich are the minority. Okay, let's talk about communism. Communism started because the czars were so filthy rich. If you do history, he was one of the richest men on earth. But the poor were suffering, the working population was so angry with the czar, which is like the emperor. They went and they started communism. This is a phenomenon even today. Even today. In countries. Because the poor were exploited. And it has become the chronic poverty. I like to call it chronic poverty that is prevalent in the world today. Deuteronomy chapter 15 verse 4 to 11 gives God's vision for a just and compassionate society where poverty is addressed through generosity, release of debts, and open-hearted care for the poor. So how does God address no poor among you in our church? How does God address such a situation in our church? No poor among you. Number one, God's ideal for you is no poverty. I will tell you frankly, yes, God's ideal is no poverty. There will be no poor among you, states the ideal situation. This is a statement, a truth. It's not a fact, but it's a truth. The fact is, it's not like that, but the truth is that there should be no poor among you. And God addresses this in the church. God desires a society. When I talk about society, I'm talking about the church, okay? There's a society. God desires a society without poverty, made possible through His blessing, the sovereign blessing of God, and through obedient living, listening to the commands of God. The society is, of course, God's people. Put it in our today's relevant context. The society is, of course, the people in the church. In ancient Israel, God established an economic system in which no one had to be chronically poor. If people would obey God, obey the Lord, He would bless them sovereignly. And because of their obedience. And there will be very little chronic poverty in Israel as well as in the church. He applies the same principle to us as a people of God. Let us apply it to us in the house of God. You know, my family once worshipped idols. No matter how many gods I prayed to, my family was poor. If you want to be poor, pray to idols. I'm telling you right now. You want to be poor, you pray to idols. Pastor Lily's, you talk about the idolatry in my house. Pastor Lily's family, the idolatry is so scary. And it affected their wealth. They were so idolatrous, not her, but the family. They bring the monk from Thailand to come to the house to chant. And they chant away all their wealth. If you want to be poor, go ahead and pray to idols. What is idols? A statue that is in your house. An image that is in your house. Don't say, oh, I just stand there to respect. No. God did not ask you to respect that person. You know, I came from that kind of family. My daily meal was porridge with dark sauce. My father was a fisherman and he brought the fishes back for us to eat. But later he became a truck driver, so the fishes also stopped coming. My flat has two rooms. One for my parents, one for four of my sisters. Four of us brothers had to stay in the living hall. I think I'm describing many of your situation once upon a time. Okay, once upon a time, and you think over it, okay, you are better now. Because of God's sovereign blessing. We do not have a room. Four of us brothers. So in the afternoon, I will go to my parents' room and have a nap. I remember there was this cousin. I mean, my house was really so crowded. There was this cousin who had, I think he was a drug addict or he, I cannot really remember the situation, but he has no home at that time or he was running away from some police. And my mom housed him in my house, sleeping with four of us brothers, in the already difficult situation. We accepted, during my time, I mean, we grew up, we accepted our lot in life, not understanding that we were really poor. We just accepted our lot in life. We assumed that everybody go through life like us. I never had a toy in my entire life. I never had a birthday celebration after I come to the Philippines. I was really experiencing what I call chronic poverty. I would like to say that many Filipinos experience what we call chronic poverty. What is chronic poverty? A condition in which individuals or household remains in poverty for an extended period. You can be poor for a while, but you cannot be poor for an extended period. Often for many years, decades, and even across generations. It is not just a temporary lack of income, but a deep, persistent form of poverty that is difficult to escape. In the recent Social Welfare Survey, SWS, of 2025, it was said that 55% of Filipinos consider themselves poor, mahirap. That is equated to 15.5 million families. I'm not talking about individuals. Say 15.5 families. 15.5 million families consider themselves poor. You put it together, it will be around 45 million or 50 million or even 60 million. Mindanao is the worst with 70% in that category. Visayas 67% and Luzon 45%. What drives this chronic poverty? Why is there such a chronic poverty? We look at the situation, okay? These are the situation that causes to experience chronic poverty. Low education. Limited or fragmented access. Many of you don't have a house. You rent a house to stay. You don't have your own house. Dependence on low productivity, especially agricultural and fishing. Large household size, like mine. Very large household size, crammed into one hall, one room, and high dependency ratio. All are still students depending on their mom, dad. I always say my mom because we were like that looking to our mom. Disasters, earthquake make it worse. Typhoon makes situation worse. Conflict, vulnerability, sicknesses, a death cause you to sell your land. A death cut off the income of the family. Disrupt income and access to services. All these structural barriers limit social mobility, leaving many unable. All this caused us to be unable to break through the cycle of poverty. All these statistics are real, not only in the Philippines, but all over the world. I've just painted to you a real picture of the world where the majority of the people in this world, and even in the Philippines, and I pray not in the Adventure Tabernacles, are in the cycle of poverty. But this is not true for us. This should not be true for us. You are in the church now. I just want to tell you that this is not true for you. As Christian, Jesus has broken the curse of poverty. Jesus has broken the cycle of poverty. You know a cycle? Low income, high dependency, low productivity, large household, disaster. I talk about disaster. Since we stepped in here, 2012, we have never experienced a tremendous typhoon in this city. God protected us. How do you know that God protected you because of a church in this city? Don't say no. Don't say no. I want to testify to you. I share to you about my past life. I want to testify to you that chronic poverty started to be broken the day I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. Of course, it was not overnight. The first 7 years was difficult, let's be honest. Okay, that's what I say. It should be not an extended period of time. But surely, but definitely, and clearly, I began to see the great changes. I began to see changes in my life, in my family, and in my own personal life also. I believe that many of you experienced what I experienced. Especially those of you that were in this church a long time already. You compare your life before. Some of you, as I'm sharing with you, you say, Pastor, you're right. I was really poor. I have this poverty-stricken spirit in my life. You experience the same miracles as I experienced. Because as I say, God's ideal is no poor among you. I say to you, to everybody here, no poor among you. The phrase no poor among you holds very true in my own personal life. And I believe in many of your life because you are starting to see the miraculous, the tremendous blessing of God come into your life. But this ideal is theological rather than historical or factual. Even among God's people in the church, many Israelites and even the people in the church lost their family lands. They're always poor among the Jews, poor among the Christians. Deuteronomy 15:11 says, just a few verses later, okay, for the poor will never cease from the land. You just imagine, no poor among you, the poor will never cease in the land. It is so ironical. It yet is not a contradiction. It is not a contradiction. God established a system where no one should be chronically poor. Yet he knew that because of this obedience, there will be some that is chronically poor in Israel and even in the church. Let us apply this truth into our life. What is stated when God say, why does God say, there is no poor among you? 1. A. The Lord your God will bless you. You understand me? You will not be poor because the Lord your God will bless you. The day Jesus come into your life, God has started blessing you as He started blessing me in 1979. And the phrase, the Lord will bless you, is mentioned twice for emphasis, for intentional emphasis. The blessing is sovereign. What do you mean, Pastor, when you say sovereign? Let me explain to you. It means that God alone has the ultimate authority, the say, the freedom to give His blessing according to who He like to give to, according to His own will, not based on human effort, not based on marriage, not based on manipulation, because of Jesus Christ. There is sovereign blessing simply because of Jesus Christ that came into your life. We are adopted children of God, opening the door for God's blessing upon us. Then the second statement, you will lend to many nations, but you will not borrow. You will lend to many nations, but you will not borrow. This outlines the blessing we will receive if we obey the word of God. You will lend. You will lend. A sign of abundance and prosperity. You can only lend when you have more than enough. Am I correct? You can only lend when you have more than enough. Not borrowing means you have not, you have no needs. You are not in need. You will lend and not borrow. You will not borrow means you are not in need. God promises financial strength, economic independence, and blessed surplus. The point is, we are the head, not the tail. That's the meaning. We are the head, not the tail. Of course, this blessing is conditional. It comes as a result of obeying God. The reverse is also true. The curses, because of disobedience, that lead us to borrowing and becoming a servant. Okay, the phrase, a borrower is a servant to the lender. You borrow from the bank. You borrow in the teacher's what? Cooperative. You borrow for your mortgages. You borrow from some finance company. A borrower is a servant to the lender. Proverbs 22:7. A borrower is a debtor. A borrower is obligated to the lender. You must repay. See, okay, just I want you to think about your life right now. You must repay, often with interest. And this limits your freedom. You cannot eat extra. The lender has power over you. The terms, he dictates the terms, he set the deadlines, and he potentially take legal action against you if you default. Isn't that true? It is so sad that many of us, children of God, are in the chains of debt. We live in a culture, and especially in the Philippines, I look at those Indians, they are 5-6, there are a lot of these people, they are 5-6, because we live in a culture that normalizes borrowing. Normalizes borrowing. Credit cards, loans, buy now, pay later, housing mortgages. This is not about money, okay? I'm talking to you about this thing. This is not about money. This is about bondage. This is about foolishness. This is about slavery. No, I thank God that God has delivered Pastor Lily and I, but we put a law in our life. We don't want to borrow, especially in our old age. We don't want to borrow, especially in our old age. Right now, our only debt right now is that mortgage of our house that we have 1 year to pay. When I go back, I'll settle it. You will rule over many nations, but they will not rule over you. You will rule over many nations, but they will not rule over you. If there is really a Christian nation in this world, it is definitely America. Of course, the backsliding of America has become very abhorrent, and the curses are taking place today. They are starting to take place today. If you study the Bible properly, it's very, very interesting. There are 7 world empires in the Bible that is mentioned in the Bible. Started with the Egyptian empires and with the revised Roman Empire, which will end at our end times, the 7-year tribulation. These 7 empires are Gentiles' empire. America is not one of them. America was never one of these 7 Gentiles' empire. It was different. America is like King David time. When King David's empire, during the time of Israel, when they really obeyed God, Israel became the most powerful nations in the world at that time. And America is something like that. They are not the Gentile power that come and give trouble to the Christian or to the Jews. America is founded upon God's purpose. It's the only country, power, superpower, global power that is a Christian nation. It shows that if empire obeys God, it will prosper. You cannot argue that the early founders and the pioneers, and they call themselves pilgrims, knelt in prayer, especially in moments tied to the founding of their nations and the dedication of their nations. It was said that when the pilgrims landed at Plymouth in 1620, they started to kneel down and thank God for their safe passage. William Bradford, leader of the Plymouth colony, wrote about their deep dependence upon God. They sought, they sought to establish a society where they can worship freely, making prayer a foundation of their settlement. What happened? Look at this picture. This is a picture of the pilgrims at that time. That guy was kneeling down. What happened? 400 years has passed. I want to tell you, it's very interesting. Israel remained a nation for 400 years or so. It's very, very interesting. What happened to America? 400 years has passed. It grew until it became the most powerful nations in the world. America is still the most powerful nations in the world. America has the largest economy. America has the strongest military. America is still the wealthiest. All the billionaires are all in America. The most billionaires in the world are in America. The government is poor, but the people are rich. I mean, it literally means you will rule over many nations. I mean, like America, he want to impose tariff. Who can go against him? Everybody submit, even grudgingly. Everybody wants to do trade with America. You just imagine the tremendous power as a result of making God their God. These nations will not rule over America. We saw all this come to pass in our life. As with a nation, so with an individual. Of course, today we are witnessing the collapse of America. It's very, very, very sad. No, it's so sad that, you know, Harvard, Trump gave Harvard $1 billion every year. $1 billion every year, okay? And Harvard has in their reserve, their finance, at least $10 billion. You don't believe, go and search. And during the protest in Gaza, these people that came to study in Harvard, in Brown University, in Columbia, they started a protest and they waved the Palestinian flag. And Trump said, give me the list of the names that you have allowed to enter into your country, into your university. They refused. He is the president. There are many things I don't like about president. Okay, there are many things I also don't like about how you run your constitution. I mean, the constitution already said that, the Supreme Court already said that you cannot impeach Sarah more than once. Okay, then Pastor Carlos was saying that, Escudero said that, are you more superior than the Supreme Court? I think it's true. So Trump just said, give me the list. They don't want to give. They don't want to give. Who is right? Who is wrong? The president said, give me the list of the people studying in your university. They refuse to give. This is a country that they are right now in. Today we are witnessing the collapse of a powerful nation just as Israel collapsed. Curses has taken place because of covenant disobedience. It is always the same individually. Number two, causes of poverty among God's people. God called us to obedience. If you obey Him, obey, poverty will be eliminated. You believe me. I don't want to dwell on poverty of a city, Ilolo City. I want to dwell on poverty. I want to concentrate on our people, our church. God did not unconditionally guarantee prosperity for Israel on the individual basis or on a national basis. God did guarantee the opportunity for prosperity for an obedient Israel. Likewise today, I say to you, if an individual obey, he or she will enjoy the blessing of God's prosperity. He or she would be prosperous and be blessed above others. He or she would have the resources to lend instead of having to borrow. The ideal is possible, but not proven true. And he gives the reason, 15. And God said this, if only you listen obediently. God said, if only you listen obediently, and I speak to you right now. If only you listen obediently. This verse was written in intensity. You know, I just finished Exodus, Deuteronomy. You know, they have gone through so much in that 40 years. And Moses was nearing the ending of the life, and they are going to enter into the promised land. And Moses has so much to tell them. But the thing that Moses was trying to say was the intensity that is in his heart. He said, if only you listen obediently. If only you listen obediently. God is reminding. God is telling you to remember. God is telling you not to forget. God is saying and written in intensity, if only you listen obediently. If only you listen obediently. What? To observe carefully all these commandments. To observe carefully all these commandments. Poverty will always exist due to human sins. Okay? I'll be straight. Due to human sins. Inequality and disobedience. In the New Testament way of saying, spiritual disobedience has consequences. Spiritual disobedience, you may not be poor, but spiritual disobedience has consequences that leads to poverty-like condition. You experience poverty-like conditions. Sinful living leads to brokenness, addiction, and loss. Many Christians, you assume that poverty is caused by external factor, lack of opportunity, no jobs, economic downturns, oppression. No, I want to tell you, it's not true. I want to tell you, it's not true because you are a child of God. But Scripture speaks of spiritual causes. You have this poverty-like syndrome. You have this poverty-like condition. It's because of disobedience to God. Unlike the Old Testament, where poverty is often a covenant curse, the New Testament teaches that though poverty is not always a sin, okay, poverty is not always a sin in a sense, look at Lazarus, who died, and he went into Abraham's bosom, okay, but still, disobedience can lead to lack. Not just materially, but emotionally, relationally, and spiritually. Some Christians, they are poor by choice. Okay? Go to the mission field. Jesus is poor by choice. But Jesus and all these missionaries never have any lack. Do you know that? They do not assume to be rich. They don't want to be rich. But they never have any lack. How about you? Ignoring spiritual principle of stewardship, tithing, giving, generosity, and work ethics, laziness, can lead to financial hardship. Galatians chapter 6 verse 7, I say to you right now, okay, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, that you shall reap. I say to you again, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, that you shall reap. Ignoring biblical spiritual principle of stewardship, tithing, giving, generosity, care for the poor, work ethics, don't be lazy, often lead to financial hardship. Disobedience to what belongs to God, tithing, and what belongs to others, hoarding, instead of caring for the poor, especially those in the household of God, is a sin. I mean, look at this e-commission. I think it's good. It's really good. To go to a church, another church, and bless them. Bless them. I want to tell you that it is good. You keep on sowing, you keep on sowing, you keep on sowing. Number 3, open hands and open heart. Deuteronomy 15:11 says, but the situation is that they are really poor in the household of God. There will always be poor, there will always be some in the land who are poor. Jesus understood this truth. Jesus said, the poor you have always with you. See, he understood this truth. The sad truth is that there's poor among us. There's no poor ideal that is ideal. But in reality, there should be no poor that is ideal. But in reality, there is poor. So how to react to this poor? How to react to this poor? I'm speaking to you. Okay, now you see God starting to bless you already. Am I correct? God has started to bless you. God has started to bless you. You see your family change. You see the blessing. Okay, then God said, you mean you're going to enjoy, get more and more and more? God said, what are you going to do about it? Verse 7 says, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted. Tight-fisted. It symbolizes emotional and financial resistance to helping others. Verse 8 says, be open-handed. Be open-handed and freely lend. It's not optional. But part of the covenant, faithfulness, commandment of God. Verse 9. Don't harbor this wicked thought. Tight-fisted. Hard-hearted. Don't harbor this wicked thought. It's a sin rooted in greed. And lack of trust in God's provision. Why? You say why? Because if this needy person cries out to God. I remember there was this poor pastor from Gimbaras. He go to every churches and ask for help. And nobody want to help. And Pastor Carlos, he always saw Father. Pastor Carlos said, Pastor, this guy is here again. He has no money. He's a pastor. Pastor Lee said, give, just give. And he crying and he crying and he cried. Because if you don't do that, this needy person cries out to God, you will be considered guilty of a sin. So what is God calling out to, in dealing with all these poor in our church? Generosity towards the poor. God commands compassion, not pity. When someone is in need, you are to open your hand without hesitation. The command to open your hand is repeated and emphasized a few times. Do not harden your heart is an attitude. Do not shut your hand. That means tight-fisted is an action. Do not harden your heart is an attitude. Do not be tight-fisted is an action. God said, do not be tight-fisted. Open your hand. Open it and give. Generosity is not optional in God's kingdom. Listen carefully. Generosity is not an option in God's kingdom. It is a commandment rooted in justice and mercy. Care for the poor is moral. Care for the poor is spiritual. When you care for the poor, you are morally right, upright. You care for the poor, you are a spiritual man or woman. No selfish excuses. God anticipates selfish excuses, selfish loopholes. Someone thinking, if I lend now, my debt will be canceled in 7 years. They will say, they will not pay me back. Yeah, that's what every one of us say. They will not pay me back. God called this a wicked thought. God said, you withhold help. It may not benefit him, but you will definitely not benefit you financially. God said, don't go into selfish calculation. Lifelong command to give freely. Giving is ongoing. Because the needs is ongoing. Let us be honest. Okay, I just be very honest with you, okay? I do get tired of giving. You can give until you get discouraged. People are like a bottomless pit. But then God spoke to me and God said, you are wrong. God said, if you are truly a child of God, the lifelong command is to give freely. Because the need is ongoing too. But God told me, I have to be fair to him. That's what God told me. And God tell you, you have to be fair to him. Because the returns are exponential. The returns are ongoing too. heavens will open and God will pour out blessing. Just remember one thing. You can never bring one single physical things to heaven. Naked you come, naked you will go. Okay, you whatever you build, whatever you have in your life, none of these will go up. You came out from your mother's womb naked. You will go back to heaven naked if you make it to heaven. You know, God wants us against being greedy. You hoard because, I'm richer. I hoard more. You know, we always talk about Lot's wife. Okay, Lot's wife. The Bible says she turned back and she become a pit of sulfur. She becomes stationary. A pillar of salt. Okay? Because she was greedy. She was greedy for what the city can offer her. We thought that is the only example. No! Do you know that there's such a truth in the modern era? There was this guy called Clovis Chappell. He was a noted authority on preaching. He tells of one of his experience in his book on the excavation of Pompeii. The excavation of Pompeii some years ago. He said that the city was destroyed by the eruption, volcanic eruption at Mount Vesuvius. Okay. They said that a huge quantity, because the people were not caught, they were caught unaware. The huge quantity of sulfur, ashes, with fire, fell upon the city and literally fix people when they were running in a mid-motion ash for centuries. They were stuck there like that for centuries. It was said that Chapel noted that there was one woman that was running from the city, but her feet was turned and her face was turned and she was looking below. She was stationary. She was in this like Lot's wife. Her feet was turned. There's a city she was running. The face was turned and she was looking at the ground. Excavator discovered that at the moment of her death, she was reaching for the bags of pearl. Her life was at risk. She thought so much about her pearl that she could not bear to live without them. I want to tell you, in heaven you have a mansion. You know, some people say the mansion that you have, they say that the mansion you have is like a city. The whole of Ilolo city is your house. You know, we keep and we keep and we keep. She was literally frozen in the attitude of greed. The poor in the church. The poor, I just want to tell you that you are not in a hopeless situation. You are the special concerns of God, but you must not have extended poverty in your life. There are many people in this church, I want to speak to you, who have poverty-stricken condition. You have poverty-like conditions in your life. This is the word of God God gave to me about you. You have poverty-like conditions in your life. The poor and needy are the special concerns of God. And the covenant people, the people in the church, are expected to ensure the welfare of every member of the family. Yeah, you have to ensure their welfare. You have to. God is asking you to protect, especially the members, the underprivileged, the marginalized, the malnourished. Then you're really a Christian. Say, Pastor, who are you talking about? Who am I supposed to help? Who is the poor that is mentioned in verse 9? One of your brothers. One of your brothers. In the Mosaic law, it shows God's special concern for mercy to the other brother, one of your brothers, to the covenant brothers and sister. You know, honestly, I'm very proud of our church that we helped Pastor Sheila Sampani. We did not misrepresent God. The church members in Babaza and the many pastors they attended the wake and the burial did not say, so this is the result of serving God in a mission field. Joy and Jen cannot say that this is the result of Pastor Lee and me serving God in the mission field. She cannot say that because they see the blessing of God. At the end of the burial, Pastor Sheila, two sisters who were hostile, I don't want to explain to you why they were hostile. They were hostile, but they were waited for me until the end of the burial, until they put a coffin inside the slot. And I walked towards them. One of the sisters used both hands and hold my hand and said, "Pastor, thank you so much." You know what she means? Because finance was there. Finance was needed. And we helped. We gave a lot. In the past 1 year, I think it started with Pastor Lily to Pastor Sheila. When she had cancer, we don't say, "God bless you, we'll pray for you." That's what we say. "God bless you, we'll pray for you. Rest in your home." No. We welcome her into the community of our church for at least 1 year. We inquire about her throughout the year. Throughout that year, we ask. Pastor Carlos is always asked to go and see what is happening to her. We raise money as a church, and individual members gave. Some of you, you don't want me to mention your name, but individual members gave. We paid for the canned fee for them as a family. We help her not only financially, spiritually, and emotionally, and socially. Why? Because she is one of the brothers. She is one of the brothers. You shall not harden your heart. It's a motive. You shall not close your hand. It's an action. 15:8 says, "You shall freely open your hand. You shall open your hand wide. Your benevolence shall be in proportion to the distress and poverty and your ability." We cannot use any other rules to regulate this giving, charity. "You shall lend generously and lend him sufficient and enough to meet the needs." Deuteronomy used the word beware, beware. Covenant consequences. God said, if you are like that, you hold your hand, you have base taught. You know, the word base means, come from the Hebrew word belia. It means a worthless, thoughtless, evil person. God view you as an evil person and a mean person. You know, sometimes I look at people, okay, I just observe people. I look at their life, I seen a number of Singaporeans. They are very peaceful, very calm, very well-mannered. And they are rich, full of blessing and full of riches. Could it be that they are like that? Because that person is generous, especially to the poor, weak and disenfranchised. I look at my own life. We are okay. Pastor Lim, we are okay. But sometimes we do not feel really blessed inside us. Could it be because someone has come into your life and you did not help? Because the Bible says it's a sin. Because there's someone cry out to your God. And you kept shut. You kept quiet. You know, we just raised the faith pledge. Pastor Lily heard about a situation concerning the DeSoyo's family. The DeSoyo is a pastor in Quatero near Capiz. He died. I was shocked. Pastor Lily was shocked during the COVID-19. I don't know whether he died of COVID or he died during the COVID-19. Then I recently came back from Babasa, from Libertad. I passed by her house and I was shocked at her face. She used to be a very pleasant and has a very nice countenance, which I met her a number of times in the past. But this time I look at her, she looked different. You can feel for her, you can pity her, or you can say, "I will pray for you." So sad. I mean, I can just come to the house and say, "Very sad. Never mind, life goes on." Life goes on. Yeah, I can say that, life goes on. Just hope that she's okay. When we collect the first collection, I mean the collection last Sunday, Pastor Lily said, "Immediately when the money comes in, I want you to release this amount of money to the DeSoyos." I respect her. You know, the world take care of the elite, the wealthy, the royal. We look up the royal, we look up to the wealthy. I tell you frankly, in the past, I was always very afraid of the rich. But I don't care about them anymore. They are rich or not rich, that doesn't mean anything to me. What God wants you to care for is not the rich, the wealthy and the elite. God wants you to care for the weak, the socially and economically deprived, the legally vulnerable and the disenfranchised, the malnourished and the forgotten. I want to tell you, if you practice this principle in your life, without anybody telling you, there will be peace in your heart. Of course, you don't be foolish, but you also don't be tight-fisted. In conclusion, God sent Christ, the greater man, and his life echoes his teaching of Matthew 26:11. The poor you will always have with you. God sent Christ and tells us to give and lend without expecting anything return. Because God is a very merciful God. Christ came to the poor. And Christ became poor. We are not supposed to be poor. But Christ became poor so that you can become rich. Do you know that? Today you are a little bit better off. It's because of Jesus Christ. Your effort, your intelligence, your ability. Let me tell you, behind you is God blessing you. He died at the cross so that this verse can be fulfilled. I've come that you may have life and have it abundantly. Abundantly, abundant life is talking about no poverty. He paid for our sin of disobedience so that the curse of poverty can be broken. Today's Christ's death has made it possible for you to become rich. He became poor so that you can become rich in many aspects of your life. And he still cares for the poor and expect you to do the same. As I say, it's an ongoing generosity, is an ongoing situation. Because there's always ongoing needs. Generosity is tied to faith, trusting that God will provide and bless us. Giving is not only moral, but responsible and spiritual. I want to pray for you, those of you. I want to tell you that God said to you, there should be no poor among you. God said you should not be poor. I say, Pastor, you say what you say, but I have poverty-like condition. I have poverty-like syndromes in my life. Then God say, is it because of your disobedience? Then God say, you start. Christ has died for you. I have forgiven you. I have cleansed you. You can start anew. And you obey this principle of my life. Obey me. Listen to me. And you will see the breakthrough coming upon your life. Upon your entire family, upon your relative, upon everybody. Shall we pray? Musician, can you come? And if you are the person